Welcome back to the second hour of 2 Hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. For those of you who tuned in a little late, missing the first hour, this is the second hour of a two-hour interview that I did with the wonderful Bensian Schenker a week ago yesterday at his home in Brooklyn. His brother Chaim was there, and we'll hear more of his wonderful music and some interesting insights into his life. In the background, we hear Or Chadosh, and at the end of the first hour, we heard Michal Kel Chaim, and we'll be picking up at the Kiddush at the after this introduction. So sit back, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this conversation that I had with the wonderful Bensian Schenker.
Well,
Well, we just heard Mekachel Chaim and the Kaddish, just wonderful recordings. These were from the early 60s, Ben Sion.
Yes.
And you have many other recordings coming
yes.
thereafter.
In 1960, I recorded an album of my own compositions. And on it, I have a melody that became very, very popular, Eish Yischaiel. And people ask me very often, they say, what did people sing before you composed Eish Yischaiel? Was there anything else they sang? The truth about this, that in my own house, I mean, my father's house, we did not sing Eish Yischaiel. We had no digging for it.
Interesting.
So that was one of the reasons why I decided to compose the digging for Eish Yischaiel. Actually, right. It was another reason. It was just after my wedding, and Baruch Hashem, I was very, very happy, and this came as a result of the fact that I married my wife. She should be well.
Yes.
And it was remarkable that this thing. Actually, I sang the Ding for the first time at the wedding of my brother, my younger brother, Chaim Baruch. And that was when it got its first exposure. And at the same time, the record actually came out just about a few months after the wedding. In 1960.
Interesting.
So it became very, very popular, and it's being sung throughout, I would say throughout the world, practically. I just saw a write-up about it in the Mishpacha magazine, where they once interviewed me, obviously, and I told them why I was composed, and how I was composed, and so forth.
We have that recording on one of these discs.
Yeah.
So why don't we listen to it right
okay.
now?
Okay.
Ishes chayil mirtzu v'rochayk mipninim hiru botach ebolei v'paru ay v'shodol lo yechesam olasu etoim v'lo yiru kol imega yeru Dore shotzer ner fishtim Bitaf kichefes kapeyo Ois goni ois oichei Mimer koki tuvir lachmo Atu kami oir hairu Ati tinten vel kreveiso Ikoi klinar oiseo
Salikulono.
Well, that recording of Esh Hayil is certainly outstanding, and everyone sings that.
Yes. Baruch Hashem. On that same recording, same record album, the original record album, I also had a song called Mizmor LeDavid, which also made waves throughout the world and was being sung practically in every shul. I made a trip to what was known as Palestine at the time.
Right.
And I mean, there's a lot to talk about that trip, but the highlight of my trip was the fact that I was spent the Shabbos in Haifa at my uncle's house, my father's brother, and I ate Shalosh Shulis in his house. So happens I wasn't feeling well that time, and I couldn't go to shul, so I ate it privately, and at the meal I composed the Mizmor LeDavid. It was Shabbos. I was afraid I was not going to be able to remember it, but it's only about an hour left to Shabbos, so it wasn't too bad, and I was able to picture it in my mind, being that I was there. At that, I couldn't write it because it was still Shabbos, but at least I was able to remember what it looked like on paper if I visualize it. And this meeting managed to become probably one of the highlights of my whole career, I think. Mizmor LeDavid, we'll hear it.
Yes, let's listen to it right now.
Yeah.
Well, this was composed in Israel, and you had mentioned earlier that Rabbi Shaul returned. He left his country in 47.
Yes.
In 46.
He left in the summer of 47.
Okay, so, but in either...
Summer, then he died November 47. 47.
The same year?
Yes, he was only he was there only for 4 months.
So he was there in 47, and
he left the United States for Israel with the hopes of settling there.
Uh huh.
And he took sick. All of a sudden.
How old was he?
He was 61 years old.
Young man.
He was a young man. I mean, sure. He said when he left the States, he seemed to be 100% as far healthy. We don't know what happened, but that he had a very warm reception over there. In Tel Aviv, he was there during the summer, and the air conditioning wasn't on yet, and they didn't have any fans. And he held a tishin like Shabbos in Tel Aviv, where thousands of people mobbed the shul there. They were staying at. And this went on for a couple of weeks, and then I was here for about until after Rosh Hashanah. And right after that, he took sick, and that was it.
Wow.
But he passed away the night the UN voted partition plan, November 29th, 1947. Here was a man that was always spoke about Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the biggest chavvei Eretz Yisrael anybody can think of. And he managed to pass away that same night that they voted for the partition plan, which unfortunately never came to fruition anyway, but that's what we're fighting about to this very day. And he was the last person to be buried on the Har HaZeitim.
Wow.
Right after he was buried, the Arabs started a war. That was the war of independence.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't the war of independence.
There was a
period where it actually there was a real war going on between.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell about Merkaz Hamidrash.
So now you you compose some inspired you to compose.
Yes. Well, we're going now a little further.
Yes.
We're going now to after the Six Day War. I took a trip to Israel. At that time, actually, I would travel to Israel very usually before Sukkot, when my father's yahrzeit was on the first day of Chol Hamoed Sukkot, and he's buried in the Har Menuchos and. In Yerushalayim, so I took a trip then, and on the plane they handed out newspapers, Israeli newspapers, and I read an article about the Yom Shemer and the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav.
Yes.
And reading the article, I said to myself, you know, I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael now. Actually, I was coming at that time to a bar mitzvah also. Somebody invited me there, and I said I have to compose something new. And what subject should I use? It's always a question: what words to use? And yes. I have that very often. But I feel I have to do something with certain words. I opened up the siddur, and sure enough, I opened up the Shlaim Ircha, and I said I read about the Yom Shemes, the Shlaim Shel Zahav, which became very popular in that time.
Yes.
And sure enough, within a few minutes, I had the song completely done already. I took out just a piece of scrap paper to be able to write it down. I notated it. When I came to Israel, I was asked I was called by Benjamin Unger, the cantor of. They had an organization called Agudat Lacham. It was comprised of people that were in the music field, chazonish composers and so forth, and they were having an evening, and here I just arrived the night before, and they found out I came, so they called me up immediately if I can come to their meeting, they're having so they were welcoming, actually, Kenta Molavani was coming from South Africa at the time, and here I'm coming from America, so I said they'll welcome me too. Sure enough, I went there, and the fellow that was the was in charge of the program with Kol Yisrael at the time, who was the chairman of this particular meeting, asked me, Rebbe Zion, what did you do? Any latest? Did you compose anything lately? So I said, as a matter of fact, yes. What do you call late? I said, yesterday, on a plane coming here. Really? And what was it? So I said, Shalai Mircha. Oh, please sing it for us.
Wow.
And I sang it for them, and they couldn't believe it, you know? They just couldn't believe it. I had no accompaniment or anything else, but I sang it a few times, and they started singing along with me, you know?
Right.
They would have been nicer, they would have recorded it, but nobody they were there to record it.
Right.
A fellow comes over to me after I finished, a little fellow, a cantor in Tel Aviv, introduces himself. He says, do you have a copy of the music? I said, the only copy I have is a little piece of paper that I wrote. And I gave it to him.
Really?
I did a very foolish thing. I mean, I knew it already. I didn't need a paper anymore.
Sure.
I gave it to the fellow. About 10 years later, I did a concert in Met Auditorium,
yes,
together with the London Boys Choir at that time, Yigal Salik. And during the intermission, a fellow comes into the dressing room. He says, do you recognize me? Yes. So I say, why should I recognize you? Who are you? He says, I'm a cantor in Tel Aviv. Do you remember about 10 years ago when you came in and you sang the Schleimbirge for the first time and you gave me a copy of it? I said, I gave it to you. He thinks that I was very laminated, you know, and everything else. He had it all. And I sang it at the concert also, so he had heard it already, yes, at the concert. So he says, well, that's my pride. He says, I go around showing everybody I have it.
Interesting.
So let's hear this wonderful version of Vili Rushalayim Yerchoa, Ben Zion Shenker.
Yerushalayim Yircha Rachamim et Sishkain Esaiha Kasher Dibarta Yerushalayim Yircha Rachamit Asher Saicha tachin Yerushalayim yircha Rachamim et Hashem Sishkayim Besaicha kasher dibarta Yerushalayim yircha Yes, I
Right now in Bnei Brak, there is an organization that is set up, which is called the Archives,
okay.
The Machon. The Archives for the preservation of the music of Majets.
Yes.
And they have a collection there, thousands of Nagunim. Thousands. Now, I myself contributed to that.
Recorded or just in writing?
There are a lot of mostly private recordings, but there's all from people that throughout the years made recordings of Majus and Nagunim, and they just have family recordings.
I see.
And they, when they started this these archives, they sent a delegation here to America to see me, and they, I had a very big collection of Majus, and I gave them at that time about 600 tapes.
Copies?
Or they, no, they made copies of it. I have left the one copy for myself.
Right.
They came with a copying machine, with two copying machines, and they just kept on copying it. And they were here for a period of a couple of days,
right.
And just kept on. And then I gave them 100 reels that I didn't have any way of playing it anymore because the reels were out. The equipment was all.
Go find it. Yes.
So I gave it to them, and they managed to pick up a machine at a. And one of these
flea markets. And how long ago was this? When this archive was formed?
It was about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And ever since then,
and where is it located?
It's in Bnei Brak. They have a fellow by the name of Zaira, a lawyer, gave him space in his office. He gave him a room, and he himself funded the whole thing.
Really?
He had people working on it to. Put these things, computerize them, digitally computerize.
And the producing recordings that are available to the public?
They're really not available to the public. They will eventually be probably out, but the only thing that what they're doing now is they have a website, and they are actually they put a lot of the stuff on the website.
What is the website? Because everybody listening to this right now is sitting at their computer.
The address is
Modzitz.
Modzitz.
.com.
.co.
.AIL.
Okay, so now just one more time for those of you who want to go on to the Modzitz website, it's www.modzitz.co.il. The IL is for Israel. Well, Betzin, we're going through quite a bit. Tell us about there's three more selections that we're going to hear next are Kori Baum, Befi
Yeshorin
and Vald Nikon. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes. The archives just came out with a CD, very interesting one, that has actually quite a few of my pieces that I sung many, many years ago privately in my own home, and I gave them the reels at the time, and they, with present technology, they managed to be able to improve on the sound, got rid of some of the outside noises. You have to remember, this was done in my own private home, and I played accompaniment. I accompanied myself on the piano, and it's probably, I wouldn't say exactly how old it is, but it'd have to be somewhere like close to 55 years ago that I did it. So we're going to listen to a Nigun that was composed by Rabbi Scholl, Kol Ribayin. This Kol Ribayin is something that's not easy to sing, but something that people that appreciate Hasidic Nagina are very much into it. In fact, there should be someplace a recording of Shlomo Kalbach doing it, which I thought I may have, but I can't seem to be able to get a copy of it. And then I have a piece called Befi Yeshorin, which is also composed by Reb Scholl here in America. The Kol Ribayin was composed in Poland in the 30s. The Befi Yeshorin was composed here in America in the 40s. And it's being sung by the Chazan, the chief Chazan of Tel Aviv, Benjamin Unger, together with a choir. And I also have a piece called the Waldnigen, the Nigen of the Forest, that was composed by the first Moshe Rebbe of Israel. And the reason I'm having Charlie play it for you is something unique about it. There happens to be an Estefanic arrangement of the Nigen, which is a little unusual.
Okay, so now let's hear these three selections. Again, it's Kori Bon, Befi Yeshurim, and Vald Nigun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby, yeah, so long.
Well, those are certainly interesting, and they're a result of the new Mudgett archives, and we look forward to many more publications and CDs that I understand are going to become available. So, Ben Sand, what's the current situation with the world of Mudgetts and Ben Sand Shanker?
I'd like to mention the fact that for the last couple of years, I've been doing twice a year, I've been doing Kumsitzen. These were actually started off as a private saying the thing that I did with my own family on Chalamoid Pesach and then Chalamoid Sukkot. But as things have gone in the last couple of years, people got wind of it and they all started joining me. So we have sometimes a couple of hundred people coming together. We have to find the right places to present them because the places are getting too small. I do the Sukkot one, I do in my my daughter's Sukkah, which happens to probably can hold about 75 people.
Wow.
Standing. And we get a couple of hundred coming, so they have to stand outside in the street.
Right.
We have to find a larger sukkah, I guess, to accommodate them. On Pesach, we do it in the house, my daughter's house, and which is nice, and but it doesn't cannot hold the amount of people that we usually get to him. And anyway, I'd like to have Charlie illustrate to you, in order to close this broadcast, with two compositions of my own that I sang at the Kumsitz. One is Viala Choral, we have coming from the benching that we do, and the other one is Lishona Abov Yerushalayim.
As we close the program with these two wonderful pieces, I just want to thank Ben Sand Shanker for taking the time to share his thoughts with us. It's hard to believe that almost 20 years have gone by since our last interview, and God be willing, we should be around for the next 20 years to do an update on this.
And thank you very much, Ali, for coming down to my house.
It's my pleasure. So let us hear these two wonderful selections as our closing pieces. Again, thank you so much.
Be well.
I told me to join the
Well, this is Charlie Bernhardt, hoping that you enjoyed this special two-hour session with Bensian Shanker. Bensian, my thanks to you on behalf of myself and my audience for sharing your thoughts with us and your wonderful, wonderful music. This is show number 125 of November 7th, 2011. Thanks again, all of you, for joining with me. Don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember that word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. You can reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. That's cbjmusic@aol.com. As we go off the air with this final selection, a favorite of mine, a Betzeis Israel.
Even now.